1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." This morning we do begin our journey through the book of Jeremiah. Lord willing, tonight at 6 o'clock we'll be gathering to study through the entire chapter here of chapter 1 of Jeremiah. I really encourage you to come out. Good time to jump on board if you ever want to study through the Bible. If you feel like Sunday mornings are just not quite enough, that you want to feed a little more on God's Word, come out and join us tonight at 6 o'clock. But in the book of Jeremiah, we have the story of a faithful God calling an unfaithful people. And in this case, it'll be through this man named Jeremiah. He will never be popular through his some 40 years of ministry. His message will provoke nothing but anger and resentment from the people. Basically, by the world standards, his ministry will be a failure. But in God's eyes, he's God's man. In this opening chapter, God settles some issues for Jeremiah right at the get-go. Considering all the long years are going to be coming up and what those years will be like, many times where he might feel like he's kicked the field goal to the right, you'll see God settles some issues. And I pray that through this, he'll settle them for us also. I've called our time together this morning based on verse 8, "I am with you." Let's pray. Lord, we just stand in awe of you and your love for us. That in your love for us, Father, you've reached down to us. Lord, just like you kept after the people of Judah, in this case through Jeremiah, Lord, you keep after us. Continually calling us and expressing to us your love. Sending your son to die for us. Always desiring to keep it personal and real, never to just fall into something stale, but always desiring, Lord, to have us be close with you and knowing you. Lord, thank you. Help us this morning. Let this morning be part of that work. Help us all to hear you, Lord, with our hearts to hear you. And I do pray, Lord, that we have a fresh sense of the fact that you've made us, you've planned this, you have a calling for us, purposes for us. You've declared it. Help us now just to receive it and rest in it. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at our text this morning and just see what the Lord might want to speak to us about. Verse 4 describes the very beginning now for Jeremiah. This is the calling of Jeremiah. "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying." So this is the calling of Jeremiah. Now notice what God tells Jeremiah, verse 5. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Before he was even formed, God declares that he knew Jeremiah. For a moment, just listen for a moment to what that shepherd boy who God made a king, David, had to say. He wrote this in Psalm 139, somewhat lengthy, but very important to bring in at this point as we think about what God says, that before I even made you, I knew you. For David declared, he had learned this. He said, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them." Getting ahead of myself there. David there is writing about something here that's being referred to in Jeremiah, and that is the fact that God knows us long before we exist. It's speaking really about the foreknowledge of God and the sanctity of life, how precious life is. Now, I know that the evolutionists would say, well, we're just here by accident, and all these little things came together, and over all these billions of years, things kind of... But God declares, no, He made us. Make sure we all settle this issue. No one exists by accident. No one is here by accident. That baby that's growing in that womb is a person from the moment of conception. With a plan already in place, and God is forming and building each little one. God knows each of us before we even exist, because He knows everything from beginning to end. And He has a purpose for each of us. Now, in the case of Jeremiah, let's just look at some of these steps. They're so encouraging. They're encouraging for Jeremiah, and I trust they'll be encouraging for us. Look at the steps here. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. First things first, he says, I knew you. Before God even began forming, knitting together all the parts of little Jeremiah, God knew him. Before you even exist, God knows all about you. Again, this speaks of God's foreknowledge. God can learn nothing new. He knows everything right now. And He knew you. And in that knowledge, He formed you. Before I formed you, I knew you. So He knew Jeremiah, and He formed Jeremiah. God knit Jeremiah together. Then He says, and before you were born, I sanctified you. Before there was a birth, there was a sanctification. What's that word? Well, it's a big word, but it basically is a word that means to set apart. When something is sanctified, it is set apart for certain usage. So if it's sanctified by God or sanctified unto God, that's the case. It's set apart for God's usage. God has a purpose in mind for Jeremiah. And that's what he's saying. I've set you apart. I have something I have for you to do. And then he says, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. To ordain means to appoint somebody to a task. In the case of a pastor, they might say, well, you recognize God's hand upon him, and he's been appointed. God has set him apart for this task, and so you appoint him to that task. He's been appointed by God to it. So in all this, God says that he knew Jeremiah, he formed Jeremiah, he set him apart, he appointed him, that he has plans and purposes for him. And to this you might say, sounds good. That sounds great, Pastor. But Pastor, Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet of God. I mean, Jeremiah is in the Bible. So of course God had a plan for him and knew all about him and all. But what does that have to do with me, Pastor? Are these kind of texts only for the Davids? Are they only for the Jeremiahs? Are they the only ones really that God has a knowledge of and a calling for and a plan for? Well, the awesome thing is, if you have truly received Jesus as your Savior, then you can know that as God's child, and that's what you've become if you've invited Christ in. You didn't earn it, you just invited Him in. But you also can know that every born-again believer, every Christian can know this. We also are chosen and set apart by Him and for Him. Not just me declaring that, I just pass it on. Matter of fact, Paul puts it this way, and this is, again, somewhat lengthy but important. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. It shows that we also, not just the Jeremiahs and people in the Bible, but everybody who received Christ. Paul says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the beloved. Whew, that's a lot, huh? Matter of fact, that's only a couple of verses. That's only 3 or 4 verses. Ladies, you've been studying Ephesians in your study with Kathy, but whether you've been studying or not, sit down and read that whole chapter. Read the whole book. But the whole first 3 chapters, just all we have in Him and all we're about because of Him. And it goes on to speak about that. But the basic gist of it there is that we also, it's not just the Jeremiahs, but every believer can know that we've been chosen, predestined. And I'm not going to get into all the theology of that right now. The heart of it is God knows you and called you and has a plan for you. Everybody, all of His children, can rest in the truth of that. God knows you as he knew Jeremiah, long before you were born or even conceived. He thought about you. He planned for you. And when you feel discouraged, when you're feeling inadequate, remember that God has always thought of you as valuable and that he has a purpose in mind for you. I can remember so long ago, and I suspect the same for you, way back when I was young and dinosaurs roamed the earth. Back then, but I can remember just really desiring, Lord, I want my life to be more than just what I see around me. I want purpose and meaning. And he drew me to him. Because if I was going to know that purpose and meaning, I had to know him, and it'd only be through him. And he drew me to him through those events that he used in my life. But it's the same for all of us. His answer to, is there purpose and meaning? Is yes. Let me show you. Let me reveal to you. Let me guide you in and help you to know this plan that I have for you. So he tells that to Jeremiah here. Now look at verse 6. What is Jeremiah's reaction to this? Then said I, Ah, Lord God. Ah, there I understand is a word we just, it's almost like a word of pain in the Hebrew. It's like, oh. Like, well, we might go, oh. And God here is Jehovah. He's saying, oh, Lord Jehovah. Oh. Behold, look at me. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. What's Jeremiah's reaction to all this? Are you sure? Find somebody else. I can't speak. Oh, Lord God. Is it not an interesting thing that when God indicates he wants to use us, we so quickly trot out the reasons why he should find someone else? We want purpose, we want meaning in our lives, and the minute he begins to show it to us, we go, ah! We recoil from finding the very thing, really, our hearts long for, the purpose and meaning that he has for us. Moses did the same thing. Remember Moses, he pled his lack of eloquence. God handled that. Isaiah just cried out, Woe is me! I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. God dealt with that. Guess what I'm saying is, what excuses have you been giving God? What excuses have you been giving God as to why he can't use you? Well, what does God say to Jeremiah here in verse 7? But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. We say it so often and we get used to it. But it's so important we really live in the truth of the fact that what God calls us to, he will empower us to. God doesn't call you to, he doesn't make you and create you and have this plan for you and purposes and then make that known to you and says, now go for it, hope you make it. Just go ahead and live it out and I'll see you at the end of your life and let's see how you do. Instead, well, what does he tell us? Look in, as Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians, he who calls you is faithful who also will do it. Paul says, he who calls you, he's faithful. We are unfaithful sometimes. We struggle with our faith. But God is faithful. He's true. He's true to what he says and what he's purposed. And what he calls you to do, he will do it. Paul says in Philippians, For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. What's that mean? God gives you the will. He gives you the to do. He gives you the desire. Then he gives you the abilities and the strength and the giftings and all to do it, step by step. It's not, okay, God, I think you're calling me somewhere, or I have a sense of this thing, or I'm in these situations, I'm this husband, wife, mother, father, employee, friend, whatever, you put me in these different places you call me to. It's not, can I do it? That's not the issue. It's, is God calling me to it? You've got to settle the issue. If God is calling you to it, then he will do it. And so really, that's an important encouragement. Let me pause for a moment just to stress that. Too many believers, I find, don't seek to discover God's will for them. But how awesome it is to seek to discover God's will and to walk in that will. And it's a lifetime of revelation. He might put you somewhere for a period of time doing something, and you're going along, and all of a sudden he starts a new chapter. He might wrap up this chapter and start a new one. Just like you, my life has had several chapters to it. But I can look back now and see more and more that each one ordained by God, used by God, he had me there in that time and that place. Sometime are lifetime callings, like being a husband or wife or a parent. Other things, again, are for a period of time. But each thing we do, and don't make light of those things. You might say, well, those are everyday things. Those are the callings of life. And sometimes we have our most impact in families and work and places like that. And the point is, when he puts us there, he's going to empower us. He's going to give us those gifts and abilities we need. But too many don't seek to discover that. They don't begin each day looking up. They don't travel through life saying, Lord, what would you have me do and be? Too often we're afraid to acknowledge it. I know in my life, years ago, before I was doing this, before he got my attention, I was in the business field and everything, and I had a strong desire. It's interesting. I was seeking God. What would you have? What would you have? And really, he was making it known. It was almost like I had to believe him. Because I was right away, he'd say, well, here's what I want to do with your life. And I go, and I start trying to figure out, well, how are you going to do it? I don't see how you can do that. And each time you have to bring him back and say, that's not your problem. Don't sit there trying to figure out how I'm going to do it. Are you available to let me do it? And now I sit here having seen him. There was two specific things I can think of that he told me he was going to do and I desired him to do. And he's brought him to pass now. At a time I didn't see how he'd do it, but he did it by his mercy and grace. Same for all of us. But my point is, he's faithful. It's not can I or do I have the resources or anything like that. It's what's he calling me to? And then be bold. Go for it. Be it right in that situation of sharing with someone or something or something a little bigger, taking on a task or whatever it might be, or maybe even a lifetime goal. Go for it. How can you not go for it? Won't you always wonder? He was nudging me. I wonder what he wanted to do. And how sad to miss out on what God would have for you. I guess I'm saying quit telling God how you see yourself and start telling yourself what you find in God. Stop looking to what you have or don't have. Start looking all that God has for you. Again, Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is where? From God. We have no sufficiency in ourselves. Our sufficiency is from God. That's always the case. Do you know what would happen if I tried to stand up here on my own? If I came out here on my own, it would not be a pretty thing. It would be a disaster. I remember years ago when I was up at a large church and the assistant pastor there, and me and a couple of pastors were getting ready to go out onto the platform, and I happened to speak to one of the pastors who had a lot more experience with this kind of thing, and I asked him, are you ever not nervous? Are you ever not nervous to go stand in front of God's people with God's word? Are you ever not nervous? And he said, the day you're not nervous is the day to worry. The day you think you got it licked. I got it locked in. Oh, I'm God's gift. Oh, man, I'm perfect at this. I've got it down. Look out. Humble pie coming up. You got to know. Our sufficiency is of God. And how many times, every day really, our anthem is, God, if you don't do this, I've had it. And he goes, I know, and I'm going to do it. If you'll just let me. What Jeremiah was or wasn't was not the issue. God says, don't say I'm a you. Don't point out that. It wasn't what Jeremiah was or wasn't. It's what God is. It's what God is. Look at our text. Look at what he tells Jeremiah. Just work through some of the wording here. Look at God's part of this calling for Jeremiah. Turn to verse 5. Look at the eyes speaking, God speaking. I formed you. I knew you. I sanctified you. Others, I set you apart. I ordained you. Going down to verse 7. I send you. I command you. Look at those things. All those are God's part. What's Jeremiah's part? Verse 7. Don't say you're a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. What's Jeremiah's part? Go where I send you, say what I tell you, and don't be afraid. Wherever I send you, just go. Whatever I tell you to say, you say it, and don't be afraid while you're doing it. Well, how would Jeremiah be able to do that? Even that's intimidating. How am I going to be able to do this? That's what God's trying to tell Jeremiah by showing Jeremiah God's part. And in particular, look what he ends with here in verse 8. For I am with you to deliver you. I've called you, I made you, I formed you, I've set you apart. I'm giving you everything to say. And I will be with you to deliver you. Now again, well, yeah, that's Jeremiah, but what about me? Well, can you think of anybody else other than Jeremiah? Can you think of anybody else God says that he will be with them? Matter of fact, this exact wording, that I am with you. Well, in Hebrews 13, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Much like, does that sound a whole lot like what he just told Jeremiah? I'm with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can boldly say, the Lord's with me, who can be against me? I won't be afraid. Remember he told Jeremiah, don't be afraid, I'm going to be right there. What can man do to me? That's what Jeremiah needed to know. That's what we need to know. Through all that Jeremiah will go through, and it will be a lot. If you travel with us, you'll see this in the coming weeks and months ahead here. The rejection, the suffering, intense suffering at times. Through all of this, right here at the beginning, God settles something. And so Jeremiah will have these words of this original call to inspire and encourage him through it all. That no matter what might go on at the moment, no matter when it seems like we have muffed everything, reminds him, I've got a plan, I'm working, I'm with you, it's all unfolding. All I'm saying is I just felt led this morning to encourage you with the same truth. And I may know what some of you are going through. I have the privilege of maybe counseling with some of you, and I know at least to a degree what some of you are going through. But of course, many of you, I don't know what you face, what you're going through, what this week ahead will face for you. But God knows, of course. God knows it all. Whatever life holds for us, we can know that he will hold us through it all. And believer, nobody, nothing can pluck you out. And he's going to see you through it. He will be with you. We have his protection. We have his word. And we have God's presence and all that that brings with us. Again, we come back to saying, yeah, but God warned Jeremiah. This is all beforehand. And you might sit here saying, feeling like, well, yeah, Jeremiah had this warning ahead of time. And all. Well, you know that God warns us also. John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Often that word, be of good cheer, is translated, be of good courage. Have courage. Don't be afraid. So he does warn us, just like he warned Jeremiah here. He warns you. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Not like the world has, but the peace that he gives. Peace in the middle of the storm. Not because we don't have storms, but in the midst of the storms and trials. We can know certain things, that he made us, has a call for us, won't leave us or forsake us, loves us, forgives us. Has that plan unfolding for us. And he said, in the world you will have a little bit of trouble. No, in the world you will have tribulations. There's days the field goal goes to the right. There's days when things just go, man, I don't get it. You're going to have trials. Some of we bring on ourselves through our choices, others things life just throws at us. And you sit here, and I don't mean to make light of some of those tribulations you've been through and trials and sufferings and all. But God said, be of good courage. Because just we say, what do you say, Jeremiah? For I am with you to deliver you. What's he say in John 16:33? Be of good courage, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Know this. He wins. More than that, he's already won. He's already won. So be of good courage. God has warned us. It will not be easy. He didn't say following him is going to be a bed of roses. In this world, you will have tribulation. Maybe more so, because now you got the enemy really throwing darts at you, and you got people down on you, everything else, much like Jeremiah is going to face. But what he told Jeremiah, he also tells us. He'll be with us, and he's already won. The Lord has a plan and a purpose for each of us. In Jeremiah's case, it was to be a prophet. Mine, at this point in my life, is to be a pastor. Yours is to be maybe something else. But there is a calling for you. And for me to try to fulfill God's calling for you, or for you to try to fulfill God's calling for me, would be a disaster, because that's not our calling. Don't worry about what the other guy's doing and what he is, and don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to answer someone else's call. But be very sensitive to and respond to God's call for you. Because, see, whatever he has for you, he will gift you. But if you try to be something else, you're outside of that. But if you respond to what he's calling you to, he has either given you or he will give you what you need for that calling. Jeremiah needed to know that. We need to know it. And so God tells us, there's going to be trials, it's going to be rough. But I made you. There's a plan unfolding. Trust me, obey me, walk in me. I encourage you this morning. I encourage you to resolve to be all that God wants you to be. Don't settle for less than discovering and walking in his plan for you. Just be faithful to each thing he sets before you each day. So often, indeed most of the time, God doesn't show us the whole picture. Just let him paint the brushstrokes as he desires. Trust the great artist that he knows what he's doing. And someday you'll look back and you will see the whole picture and you'll go right on. Jeremiah didn't even know, really. Jeremiah didn't know at this point what this call would mean. He doesn't know what's ahead of him. We do, but he doesn't. But he had God's promises and he had God's presence to face it all. And that's always enough. And that's what you have. Look one more time at our text. What was Jeremiah's concern? Look at verse 6. Jeremiah's concern. Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Lord, I can't speak. So right away, that's his objection. That's his concern. That's his fear. Lord, I can't speak. You call me to do this. I can't speak. Now look at some verses we haven't looked at yet. Our final two verses, verses 9 and 10. After saying all this to Jeremiah, we read, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. How awesome is this? Get your eyes off yourself and on to him. Jeremiah says, I can't speak. That's his great fear. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched his mouth and said, here, look, he says, behold, look, I put my words in your mouth. What's that mean? Here's my fear. And God said, then here's my answer for your fear. I can't speak. And he said, okay, that's fine. Here, I'm going to give you my words. The very thing you're concerned about, here's my answer. And it's his power, his presence, his word. Whatever God calls you to do this morning, don't hesitate. Go forward in him. You'll never regret it. Let's stand. There'll be prayer partners available by the prayer room. Is this a day for you to go for it? Is it a day for you to stop telling God why you don't qualify and why he can't use you. Instead, is a time for you just to look to who God is and what he has for you. He'd been holding back. Again, in my life, I recognized it finally came to admitting what he's already putting on my heart. It was in the form of a burden, a desire. Is God putting a burden on your heart? Some desire. But right away you counter with, well, what can I do to make it happen? Or what are my gifts and all? God says, bail on all that. Just admit that he's calling you. And certainly he's giving you callings for your day, because if you know him, he's got a plan for this day and every day, be it at work, home, school, wherever. Let him. Let him do whatever he wants to in and through. He made you. Got a plan for you. Don't ever forget it. Walk in it. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for that truth. I pray you drive it home to our hearts in a new way, Lord, that we would not take for granted that truth, that you made us, you knit us together. And it was with a design and a purpose. And for each one who's come to know you, Lord, we can come to walk it and know that step-by-step plan that you have for us. I pray, Lord, for all of us. Help us to not settle, not to come short of all you'd have, Lord. I pray, Lord. Help us to get our eyes off us and on to you and all that we find in you, that in the end, Lord, these lives that we live will be lived according to your purpose and plans, and therefore will give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
He sees each tear that falls.